We have been fielding a lot of questions, and I would say more concerns than questions, on the issue of open office design, specifically as it relates to people with disabilities. Everything from I already had an accommodation, now going to an open office environment, how will that accommodation be altered? I've been told I have to request a new accommodation starting from scratch because of the new environment, laying out in this environment what I'll need. There have been so many concerns from people with visual disabilities, hearing, physical, because depending on the office environment, it can impact all of those different disability types.
So a lot of concerns from employees. Have you been in the position of advising companies or government organizations about how they should manage the move?
Yeah, so how most organizations up till this point have been managing this environment has really been by, looking at how many days in the course of a week an individual spends in the office versus, telecommuting or if they're traveling. A lot of decisions have been made to say, okay, this person travels quite a bit, they're only in the office one quarter of the time, therefore. And not taking into account as part of that what impact that could have on disability. Perhaps people that today don't even require or request an accommodation, but in the new environment may need one. So we've been working with a number of global companies on this issue in terms of, let's take a step back, if it hasn't all been rolled out yet, let's take a step back and look at the different criteria that we may want to include, not just hours or time spent in the physical office environment, and then how do we roll that out. When it's already been rolled out, then it's a kind of a different component of advice, and it's really doing an analysis of accommodations that are currently being made, who we need to go back out to, why, things like that, what kind of communication we'll need to put out.
Sure. So let's start with the planning phase. When agencies know, because here we're speaking about federal agencies, when they know that they are going to move to open offices, which means little to no partitions between people's workstations, what sort of things should they be thinking about? If not, how often do people telework? What are the other questions they should ask?
A company cannot accommodate or consider, a federal contractor or a federal agency cannot accommodate or consider a disability that they don't know about, right? So unless someone has disclosed a particular issue, it is difficult to know how something is going to impact a particular individual. Having said that, what we like to do is look at the general landscape and say, categorically, we know that if people have hearing loss, or a significant hearing loss, and they need a quiet environment to be able to work, having that open space may not work so well. Looking at the design of the furnishings, that's another piece that's coming up a lot. In the open office environment, the design of the office furnishings are quite different than when you have individual cubicles or offices. And we have to consider what the height is of those workspaces. The telephony is also very different typically. So again, we have to either going into it say, right off the bat, almost like an accessible parking situation, right? So right off the bat, based on the number of employees we have, we're going to create certain environments should people need it, without even first and foremost looking at the individual needs, but just here's what we're going to do across the board. I'm just going to make this up. If we have 100 employees, we're going to ensure that 10% automatically have spaces that and, meet various tests of accessibility. That would be the first piece of guidance. The second piece would be to do an analysis of the current accommodations and understand, at least from this current accommodation that's being provided, which folks or how many individuals are truly going to be impacted and from what we think, in what way. And to be proactive, to reach out to those individuals in advance, if when we can, advise them of what's coming down the pike, and really go into that interactive dialogue right at the beginning to say, this is what we're assuming that you're going to need based on this new environment. Please give us some guidance. Is that correct? Is that not correct? Because the challenge we're finding is that federal agencies, companies, they're not asking the questions up front.
Yeah.
And so it's more reactive. And as you know, as soon as you do anything that's reactive, it costs more, there's more havoc. It's not pretty.
Yeah. Well, and this is something that a lot of people have fear about, if it hasn't happened yet. A lot of people to whom it's happened, I mean, people with disabilities or not, they're complaining about noise and privacy. And people with disabilities, what I've heard is that somebody says, well, my accommodation, for example, if I'm blind and I need an audible reader so that I know the words that are appearing in my computer, is going to be somebody else's distraction. First of all, can you make it work when you have a large number of employees with disabilities that are going to be forced to work in an open environment? They don't have the option of private offices.
Well, I think we have to go back to understand the whole issue of reasonable accommodations, right? And what's reasonable and what's not. And at the end of the day, keep in mind that, according to EEOC, we're supposed to ask every candidate, can you perform the essential functions of the job with or without an accommodation? So this really begs the question of, before companies go into this, do they understand what the essential functions of a particular job is or are? One, and then two, what are those accommodations that may be needed? And what I mean by that is that we can have an open office environment, but understanding that the accommodation for someone may need to be something other than that open office environment. We need to understand what's available today, how to get creative, so that we don't undermine the intention of the organization in either practical aspects or even from look and feel, but understand, okay, what is available creatively to us that we can use or utilize to get this individual what they need to be successful in the job. That is, plainly and simply, that's the law. We have to help someone so they can be successful performing the essential functions of their job with or without an accommodation, even if that accommodation means I need a glass partition or whatever it may be.
How do most companies solve this problem? I mean, do they put people who have disabilities, such as someone who needs an audible aid, in a private office? Is that typically what they do?
Every company is handling this quite differently. Very, very differently. It's easy enough if someone needs, audible software to have them have headphones on so nobody else would hear that. Depending on the disability, that may work and be the easy solution. It may not, but it's certainly a solution before you go to a private office environment. So it has more to do with it really comes back to two things, what the essential functions of the job are, and then based on that, what is it that does need to be done? We tend to think that jumping to I must have a private office because. And it's like anything else with an accommodation. You can request for anything. But we have to really do an analysis to say, well, what is it that we can do to meet your needs? It does not mean it's always the Cadillac version answer.
Headphones is an excellent example of a relatively low-cost way to solve one problem. But if you are in an agency that, say, has a high number of people who have known disabilities all working together, what are some other things, some other relatively low-cost things that you can do to help manage the open office environment?
So one of the things we've heard a lot is in the open office environment, there's usually these shared space, right? So it's kind of what they call hoteling. You come in and there's like a wall that has a shelf, I guess I'd call it, that people can use as a workspace, and you can plug a phone in and things like that. Those are not typically movable in terms of height. They're not adjustable. So one of the things one of our clients has done is I forgot what percentage they determined would need this. It's still the hoteling. It's still the same thing. However, there are certain areas where those shelves, the desks, so to speak, are adjustable. So whoever is coming in, doesn't matter what kind of wheelchair, let's say, they're using or how tall they are, they can adjust it to whatever height they need when they come in. Meaning three people with three different types of wheelchairs, different heights that would need a different heighted desk, whenever they come in, can adjust it according to what their needs are at that time. So again, it's there's something called universal design. Universal design, the seven principles to universal design, and it's about how people utilize space and utilize space effectively and successfully, whether they have a disability, permanent, temporary, or they don't. It's how we all work together. And it's really applying those principles to get to answers like that.
And what's the right way to think about it ahead of time? What should you be saying to your employees? What sort of things should you be asking yourself?
When a company moves into an open office environment, they know upfront what some of these challenges are going to be. Put disabilities aside, right, to your point. They know in an open office environment, it can get noisy. They know all of those things. So it's really looking at those and saying, are there solutions out there? Disability or not, are there solutions out there today that if someone has an issue with any of these, at least the most common ones we're aware of, that we can do the research, have them at the ready, so that should someone make a request or have an issue, we have it, number one. Number two, to be more proactive about it, is to inform folks that you're going into this environment, what the timeline is going to be. If you already have, you know, some kind of reasonable accommodation that you think may impact this, you know, please, whoever they've gone to, their manager, HR, so that we can look at it. Having said that, we've already, you know, resourced and researched so that for anyone who needs the following, here's what we have available. I mean, it's really just being more proactive. You know, one of the things is that people get nervous about what they don't know or don't understand. So what's happening is, even before anything happens, people are in an uproar, especially people with disabilities. How is this going to impact me? This is going to be terrible. I'm not going to work here. I'm not going to be able to do this. They're just trying to get rid of me. I mean, we hear all of these things. If the company would communicate and be more open about the process, that they already know that there are situations that they will need to accommodate perhaps differently, for some general accommodations, here's what they've already have in the queue to provide, to just make the request, people will calm down. And I don't think we'll have quite the number of issues that we're having today.
Yeah, I think with the federal government, the situation is particularly acute because on one hand, agencies are being told by the White House that they've got to consolidate real estate, and that includes office space. And then on the other hand, they're also being told that they must be the model employer of people with disabilities. People see these two things in conflict.
Right, but see, that's the beauty of it. If they would think out of the box and really have a plan in place, they would realize that they're not in conflict. Will there be situations that will be difficult to resolve? Yes. There will always be some, but you know what? That will be the minority. If they do some of the things that we just talked about, I really believe, just from the clients we've worked with thus far, 80 to even sometimes 90% of the potential issues will be put to rest before the changeover.
And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money.
No, I mean, that's the point, is that when they're hearing folks complain and accommodations and we're going to need this and this, they think, oh my gosh, private offices. No. That's my point. Take a step back and realize that most of the solutions are actually low cost, you know, very simple type solutions that, oh, by the way, some of these people with disabilities are probably using in their own homes.
If you're already moved to an open office, what are some things that you as a manager of people with disabilities should do? You're not the agency, right? You can't, you don't have the power, I guess, to buy a whole lot of things. But how can you make this easier for your employees?
Well, you know, if we go according to what the law tells us, what the manager would need to do and should do is enter into an interactive dialogue. So let's say this individual has already been receiving some type of accommodation. For the manager to be able to bring the individual in and say, you know, now that we have moved, I wanted to have a dialogue to understand how the accommodations that you've been utilizing are working for you in this new environment. Working, not working, are they impacting performance? You know, just what's happening. Because once you provide an accommodation, you're supposed to come back and readdress on a regular basis the effectiveness of the accommodation. Now, what I've heard from some managers, many managers, actually, is, well, if the person's not coming to me, I'm not bringing it up. I don't need to go there. And you can take that approach, certainly. But a more proactive approach would be to do what I'm saying, is to call the employee in. We've been in this new environment for 30 days or 45 days. You know, obviously you're still operating under the accommodations we had earlier. Is that working for you? Anything need to be changed? How is? And that's all. You just have that dialogue.
What are some of the things that employees themselves should be doing?
A big piece of advice we give to the employee, even, you know, not even in this environment, but even just when they're thinking about they may need an accommodation and they're going to disclose a disability, is to really come into that. So again, it's about communication, but to really come into that meeting with, let's say, the manager, HR, whoever they're having the conversation with, already armed with some solutions, not from an emotional standpoint, not from a medical model of disability standpoint, but rather from an essential job function standpoint. So to be able to say to the manager, Emily, three things, as you know, are essential functions of my job. I spend 90% of my day doing these three things. In this new environment, one of them is really being impacted dramatically. I need to understand, you know, what we can do so that I can still be successful. I've already thought some things. I've done some research. Here's the one or two things I'm thinking about. Talk, you know, let's have a conversation. Can XYZ company provide that to me? But the problem is that's not how the dialogue usually takes place. Instead, we go in, we say, this environment is just not working. I'm not going to be able to do this. I have a disability. You have to accommodate me. That's not helpful. Because the person that they're talking to, especially if it's the direct manager, really doesn't have the solutions. They don't know. Like you said, they're not the agency. So to be able to have more of that interactive dialogue so that the employee also comes prepared, even to say something like, you know, I can tell you I have three children, and when I'm at home, I use these noise-canceling, you know, headphones. I'd like to be able to use those here. Even if it's something as simple as that, that will then start a very real dialogue that can impact change.